Yeah, so we're going to take a pause this week from Isaiah. We'll get into Isaiah chapter 40 next week, and it's going to start off next week with a few different things. We're going to have a bibliography next week so you guys can know what it is that I'm reading when it comes to the rest of Isaiah. And we're also going to talk a little bit about technical things with Isaiah at the beginning of next week's sermon. So for those of you who really enjoy that technical stuff, yay. For those of you who do not enjoy that technical stuff, yay. Show up anyway, because there's still going to be other stuff to talk about. But no, today's special. Today marks another holiday in our culture. And a holiday is just another way to say a holy day. And why do we call them as such? Because they're special days. They're unique from others throughout the year in which we dedicate to remember something. Examples of this are Thanksgiving, Christmas, Veterans Day, Memorial Day, Independence Day, Easter Sunday, and as we celebrated a few weeks ago, Mother's Day. Today is one of those days. Today's a day when we take time to consider those who have been with us, individuals without whom we would not exist. Yes, the other side of the proverbial coin from mothers is our fathers. Fatherhood is something which our broader society has neglected over the past probably decade or so, if not longer. Like mothers and motherhood, fathers and fatherhood have taken quite a beating from where it used to be. Whereas in the past, fathers were respected. All too often in the media and in the culture, fathers today are given a lack of respect. All too often, they are seen as the bumbling fools, the Homer Simpsons of the world, the guy who really rarely tries, and when they do, they just end up getting in the way most of the time. And if that is somewhat true, Carissa's probably like, yeah, well, he does. Still. So like mothers, though, fathers and fatherhood, in general, they're in need of defending. It's in need not only of defending, but also of understanding. Where can we go for understanding the importance of fatherhood? When we consider fathers and fatherhood, what is the best place to look for understanding of these concepts? Are we to simply accept what the culture has been telling us about fatherhood, or is there another place we can look? If fatherhood is merely a social construct, then we would be unable to say anything more about it. But if it is not merely a social construct, but something which is more, then we should have some evidence of what it looks like outside of society. The question for the Christian then is, do the scriptures provide us information on fatherhood? Does it teach us an understanding of fatherhood, which is not merely a social construct, but something which is ingrained within humanity as we are created by God? If it does, then not only would there be evidence of it within the scriptures, but it would also mean that what the scriptures say about fatherhood would be significant. So, do the scriptures say anything? Well, yes, yes, they do. I think a lot of times when we think of our fathers, the first thing that comes to mind is Paul when he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Now, there are a number of things to consider with this. The first is the necessity for children to obey their parents. The basis for Paul saying this is the Ten Commandments. Paul recognizes that of the Ten Commandments, it is the one which comes with a promise that it will go well with you, and you may live a long life in the land. The promise, then, is that they would have a long life as well as a blessed life. Obedience to our parents clearly has importance to God. He wants us to obey our fathers. He wants us to especially honor them in this way. It is honoring to our fathers when we take heed of their wisdom and their knowledge, when we seek them out for understanding, and when we obey them when they speak to us. However, that does not mean that fathers are to act in any way that they want. While it is true that we are to obey them, that does not give them free rein to do things as they see fit in their own eyes. Instead, they are told not to provoke their children to anger. Thus, fathers should refrain from doing things which would cause their children to look scornfully upon them. Being a domineering father can have this effect on children. Being a father who does not love can do this as well. The goal for fatherhood is not to cause your children to hate you, or to do things which would cause them to scorn or anger. Instead, there is a better way, And Paul recommends it by saying, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Notice, Paul does not say, do not discipline children. He does not say, give them everything that they want. Instead, he calls on fathers to bring their children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The Lord disciplines. He chastises his children. However, the goal of such discipline is not for us to hate God, but to see the difference between what is right and what is wrong. The scripture teach us that God disciplines those he loves. Why? Because discipline teaches us when we are in the wrong so that we can then be in the right. But it does not end with discipline. They are also called to bring their children up in instruction of the Lord. Do you know what this means, fathers? It means that we have a responsibility to teach and train our children in the ways of God. We have a responsibility to teach our children about the God of the universe, the God who has revealed himself in the scriptures. What does this require of us? It requires us to be knowledgeable about God ourselves. It requires us to be willing to learn more about God so that we can further train our children in his ways. It will not do for us to be stagnant in our knowledge of God, because then our children will become stagnant as well. Instead, we are to continue our own pursuit of knowing this God. Do you know what else this means? It means that we are to be theologians. Theology comes from two Greek words, theos, which means God, and logi, which means study. Thus, theology means the study of God. To be a theologian means that one studies and gains knowledge in knowing God. This means we need to read our Bibles, but it also means we need to be aware of our church history. It means learning more about God in this world. It means being willing to teach what we have been taught and making sure that what we teach and what we have been taught are right and true. Yet it is not only in the mind or reason which we can train and give understanding, but by walking with God ourselves, we can show our children the way they can relate to God of the universe. When we respect God, when we are obedient to God, when we honor God, and when we love God, we give an example to our children so they can further understand their own relationship with God as well, and they can emulate something. Emulate how to love God. So from this, we learn a few important things. The first is, our fathers are to be honored. They are our fathers for a reason. God has placed them in our lives for his glory, and we can be sure God would not make such a mistake. They are to be disciplinarians to train their children, not for the purpose of embarrassment or scorn, but for wisdom in what is right and wrong. But also, we need to remember that fathers are called to be theologians, to understand God, to seek God, and know more about God as they continue forward. And finally, to emulate the kind of relationship God wants with his children by walking in step with his Spirit in obedience. This, of course, leads to another point found in these verses, which is fathers are called to be instructors. But before we can reflect on that, it is not only in this text that this is the case. Consider a few of these verses from the Proverbs. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are graceland garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Proverbs 1:8-9. And hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive, that you may gain insight, for I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching, Proverbs 4:1-2. A primary purpose of fathers are to be theologians, and because of this, they are called to teach. We saw how Paul used this same concept when describing the father's role of instruction. I find this to be interesting within the context of our modern society, and why is that? Well, consider society. Who are the ones who teach? Teachers. They are the knowledgeable ones who have all the information. Parents, especially fathers, are not seen as instructors. They are seen as providers at best. Yet the scriptures are clear that fatherhood involves teaching, taking our children under our wings and showing them the paths that they should follow. It is not surprising that this is the case. Fathers are important for our development as human beings. They, like our mothers, are the foundations on which our knowledge begins. How they train us, then, will have repercussions for the rest of our lives. We see this in society at large, a generational habits form for both good and for ill. Fathers have a responsibility to make sure that they are training their children in the right and good ways of the Lord, helping form habits within the children which are good. In times past, it was not uncommon for fathers to instruct their children in things like catechism. teaching them not only practical ways for living, but also what we would call spiritual living, or living in the Christian tradition. Often we can think of youths who pick up on such depth as bright, and we can assume other children aren't able to grasp what they grasp. When we do this, however, I think we underestimate our own children overall. As stated, catechism teaching was often done with the whole family. What has happened? Why is it that we consider one youth special when it was normal to teach all of our kids these things in the past? I think it rests more with parents rather than children. When parents cease caring about children, their children, and raising them in the way they should go, then it is less than likely they will be trained in these things elsewhere. In the past, they did care, and they did want their children to be raised in the knowledge of God. And because of this, they had encouraged and taught them the value of knowing God and knowing about God. They had instructed children in wisdom, in the Bible, in the beautiful texts of church history, and in the past it benefited the children and ultimately broader society. Indeed, many people tell me today how much things have changed in society in general. Yet what is lacking? Church attendance is at an all-time low across the United States. Many parents are unaware of the Christian faith and its depth. As such, many children today continue to find their purpose, their meaning, and their value not in who they are as created image bearers of God, but by whatever the culture and educational systems instills in them. Unfortunately, this has led to many not even knowing if they truly do have any meaning, purpose, or value at all, and to question reality as it is in front of them as we think things like gender and sexual confusion arise at incredible rates among children. Thus, it is imperative for fathers to be instructors in the ways of God, because otherwise it is far more likely their children will find answers somewhere else, and those answers will be difficult. Now, the truth is, these things are not merely applicable to our biological fathers. Consider what we read in 1 John 2:12 through 14. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Also consider 1 Timothy 5:1 through 2, which reads, "Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him, as you would a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity." In these verses, we find hope on many accounts. The first is for those who feel as though they have failed in some capacity with fatherhood in general. The simple truth is, it is never too late to be a good father to your biological children or in the church. Those in the younger generation are in need of seeing men of faith who persevere, men who are faithful to Christ, who give their lives to obedience to him by loving their wives and teaching their children. There are those who are younger, like myself, who always need to be reminded and taught. In that sense, you older men are our fathers of the faith. You older men must make your shoulders strong for the next generation of Christians, for the benefit of this congregation, for the glory of God. Whether these are your biological children or not does not change the fact that you are fathers to those of the younger generations within the church. Not only fathers as fathers, but grandfathers to each of us. Consider the further hope of this. Let's say you didn't have the greatest dad growing up. Maybe he wasn't around. Maybe he didn't do a great job teaching. Or the teaching and instruction he gave were harsh and caused you more pain than anything. Well, here in the church, by God's grace, you will find fathers who will take care of you, who will watch over you, who will love you and cherish you, instructing you in the faith. This is their role, their call, as the older generation of men, to lead the younger generation in the truth for our benefit. But it should also give us hope for those who feel as though they could never have been better, or could have been better, but weren't. Those who are biological fathers who have failed. Well, here in the church, there is always redemption. You can learn here from other men how to be better, not only to your own biological children, but also to your spiritual children. You can continue to grow. Some might fear that there is no hope for change, but in Christ we know change is possible. It does happen. Likewise, it gives us hope for this family of believers. It reminds us we are not alone on the road of faith. We who are younger have this older generation to see what it looks like further down the road, to encourage us and to guide us further on the path. Though at times things look dark for us, though we struggle, and we know that the men before us have struggled too, and still God has kept them in his grace. Thus, we should find peace in our elders as they train us not only intellectually, but in the very reality of God and what he bestows upon each of us. Finally, the verses we looked at from Timothy remind us of something more. Even if you have no biological children, in the church you find children aplenty. Because you elder men of the church are father figures to each of us and to our children. Thus, even those who have no children become fathers in the church. And it is a glorious and beautiful thing to consider that God in his own way redeems childlessness in his congregations. Praise God for this. One final thought that comes with Father's Day is found throughout the New Testament, and it is something which we find in the Lord's Prayer as we pray it every Sunday. Our Father in heaven. The concept of God being our Father is strong within the Scriptures, but especially in the New Testament. It stems from Christ, his atonement, our redemption through his blood. It is through Christ we are able to pray to God as our Father in heaven. The concept of God being our Father has direct ramifications for us. It means that we are no longer merely created beings. Instead, it means that God looks at each one of us who are in the faith as his own children. It means that when he looks at you, if you are in Christ, he sees his own child whom he loves. Often we can think that this is the case of all people, but the truth is the Scriptures very explicitly teach that it is those who are in Christ who experience the love of God. And it is a love which is unlike any other kind of love, for no other love can be as complete as the love of God has for his Son. And hence no love can be as complete as his love for each of us if we belong to Jesus. Thus, above all in the church, above all fathers, is our great God who loves us as our Father. For those of us who are fathers here on earth, it is to him we look when we want to understand what it means to be a good father to our children. It is he whom we are called to reflect. We consider his ways, how he is gracious to us, loving toward us, who disciplines us, encourages us, teaches us, abides with us, is compassionate towards us, so we are to be toward our children. We have the greatest teacher when it comes to fatherhood, and that is God himself. It also means no matter the circumstances, we can be sure that we are not fatherless if we are in Christ. We all have our Father in heaven who watches over us with his grace and peace. This also reminds each of us men that fatherhood is not something trivial. It is a reflection of God himself. Thus, it is no small thing to be a father. It is a high calling, a great blessing to be a father, and because of this, we should strive all the days of our lives to be the best fathers we can be for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now know our Father in heaven, and for the benefit of our biological and spiritual children. Indeed, we can reflect these very things onto our children. In this way, they will become themes which they are familiar with. For our young boys, who will become familiar with strength, wisdom, knowledge, grace, peace, and love, and grow into men who follow this good and godly path. For our young girls, who will not only learn to walk in the same way as they become women, but will then seek out such men for living in marriage, because it will be familiar and comfortable for them. In a world in which so many men and women are abused and heartbroken, I can think of no better medicine than familiarizing our children with these things, reflecting godliness onto them. That said, fatherhood is no easy thing. It comes with its fair share of heartaches. It comes with sorrow, watching our children grow old, knowing that each one will experience their own sorrows, recognizing that there will be times when our children must face things on their own. Our hearts break for them, knowing that each will experience life and knowing how much hurt there can be. If that is the case, if our children must face a dark world, then let us continue to shine the light of Christ on them that they may find their way homes in the darkness, giving them strength for the future, letting mercy lead, and letting grace be in every one of their steps. My hope is that we would remember our fathers fondly, not just our biological fathers, but also those who are our spiritual fathers, all those men who have watched over us over the course of our lives, and that we would give thanks to God for them. No Christian is without cause of praise for fatherhood, for even if we have had imperfect fathers, or even if we have not been the perfect fathers, or even if we had had no biological sons or daughters, we know our great Father in heaven who watches over us in love. So today, celebrate fathers, pray for them, that they would receive wisdom and grace to continue to lead their families further into the gospel of Christ. Encourage them each day to remain faithful to the calling of what God has called them to be as fathers, honoring them in their calling. To all of our fathers, both spiritual and biological, those who have affected me personally so greatly, every single man in this congregation, I give thanks to each of you on behalf of all of those whom you have touched. May God be with you today and all of these days of your lives. And may each of you bear the good fruit of faithfulness to God, knowing that it is from your heavenly Father that all good things flow. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for our fathers. We thank you so much that you are our Father in heaven, and that we can rejoice in this concept of fatherhood which comes from you. And Lord, as we continue, we ask that our fathers would be blessed, that they would know you, that they would seek to follow after you in faithfulness, and that they would desire to glorify you in their very roles as fathers. That all the men here would continue to seek you, and that they would know that they too have a responsibility in this role of fatherhood. And that those of us who are younger would seek them and understand from them and learn from them. And that we would all desire not to glory in ourselves, but to glory in the one who has been given to us so that we can call you Father, that we can glory Jesus Christ through these relationships. We thank you, Lord. Your grace is great, and it is shown to us every day. And it's in this grace that we pray. Amen. Please rise as we sing our final hymn.